And I desire to turn back to Psalm 27 for our text. It's a psalm that's full of lovely verses, but this verse has always appealed to me. Psalm 27 and at verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Of course, there is coming and coming. We read, for example, one of the ways in which the Lord might have said, seek ye my face, when we read Matthew 11. And that was wonderful. Come unto me. And all the come texts of Scripture are a way of, when thou sayest to me, come unto me, says the Lord Jesus, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if the Lord says, come, we don't have to say, I don't think the Lord will have me. If the Lord says, come, we should come immediately. If a teacher said to us, come here, and we decided to go the other way, or not to respond, that would be a real trouble. It would be seen as a major sin. And the Lord himself invites his people. It's frequent in the Scriptures. I chose to read you Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. That wonderful verse, in the last day of the feast. John chapter 7 and verse 36. In the last day of the feast, the Lord Jesus cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. The very last chapter of the Bible has this constant come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth the invitation say, let him come. And let him that is athirst come. And they are all initiatives of the Saviour to draw us to himself. When you come to think of authority for doing something, when you come to think of our warrant for doing something, there can be no more basic authority to do something than if the Saviour says, do it. And the Lord Jesus constantly in the Bible says to us, come. But it's frequent in the Old Testament. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's an invitation. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's an invitation. The next is a command. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the Lord will abundantly pardon. The first move toward any of us to save us is from the Lord. Now, that is not always how it appears to the new believer. I honestly thought that I had taken the initiative when I was saved. I didn't give adequate thought in the thrill of being saved to the preparation that the Lord had done in my heart and to the gospel preaching that would lead me to be saved. And the human heart always thinks by nature that it has done all the running, that it has done all the thinking. But of course, if we originated our own faith, our prayers wouldn't go higher than the ceiling. And our claims to salvation would be lost in thin air. It is absolutely because it has the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, come, that we may believe the gospel, that we may come about our sins, and that we might return through the Saviour to our Heavenly Father, who, as in the prodigal son, has a great welcome for those who return to him. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. And I'm trying to show you when it is that the Lord Jesus says it. Whenever we read the Bible, whenever we come across a come passage, whenever we did before read any of these passages. But it is the Word of God making known to us that we are invited to come. Now, I don't think many people would probably turn up if we sort of said to them, well, I've got this meal on, you can come if you like. People would think, I don't know that they really want me. I don't know that it's made for me. What they need is a specific invitation. We are having this or that. Please come. And maybe you know of others who have the same invitation. That is more specific. That is more authoritative. And we have no doubt but that we should respond to it. Now, of course, Jesus told a parable about those who got invitation to the feast and they found excuses not to go. And people do find excuses not to respond to the call of the gospel. But anyone who is heavily laden with sin, anyone who is weak and wondering how they're going to get through life, everyone who is heavy laden is going to be glad to hear the message that they may come to God. Of idols, it is said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, that the burdens bore the weary beast down. But God says, I will carry you even to hoar heads, to grey hair. You're not a burden to me. I am glad to have you. Come unto me. Come and be saved. We must not undervalue these words in the scriptures. Nor should the people who heard the Lord Jesus in the flesh have undervalued them. Because they are the actual warrant that we have in this world where we cannot see the heavenly world. To trust that it's all right to come. To trust that the Saviour wants us. We've had a personal invitation. We read it in the scriptures. And it leapt out of the page to us. So we know that that was the Lord giving faith to believe a particular word of his. So it must apply to us. It must be for us. We're welcome. We're invited. We know from the scriptures that we mustn't invite ourselves. Jesus told the story of the feast and found one without a wedding garment. And he was in real trouble. And what that signifies was here was a man trying to get in the back way. Because he'd come in the front door, he'd have been given a wedding garment to wear over his clothes. Otherwise he couldn't have afforded it. But this person had tried to get in the back way. By works and his own righteousness perhaps. Rather than trusting in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is an offence to the one who gives the invitation to come uninvited. But as for ourselves, because we've read these things in the scripture and heard the voice deep in the depths of our spirits, applying these to our own heart, we know that we may come, and in coming we are Christ's. We are Christians. We need have no doubt about our standing. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. Now, all the seek come, scriptures that I've read to you this afternoon, come at it from a slightly different angle. When thou said, seek ye my face. That's another way of saying, come into my presence. So what is being said here is highly personal. It is not suggestive of learning of doctrine, though we do need to know what Christ did and accomplished and believed. Here is an invitation, an opportunity to have friendship with the living God at his invitation. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. And that is a very public, a very powerful word. We all have individual faces, and there is no face like the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what it was like, humanly speaking, but it means his presence. And his presence means everything to do with him. If you get somebody to come to see you, and you've invited them to come, they get more than just coming to see you. They share, they receive of your cooking, your nice cakes. They share of your home. They look at your photographs on the wall of your children and grandchildren. And they begin to understand something of the things that you love and like and believe in. And so when the text here says, seek ye my face, it's an invitation to come and with our hearts to get to know God the Father through the Son. That we get to know the things that he loves. That we get to know the things that he's planning. That we get to know what he feels about the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to know what he thinks about our wrongdoings and sins. We get more than just being with him, delightful and fundamental that is. We get everything he stands for, everything he is. So we are invited to have fellowship with God. We love him because he first loved us. Same principle. He loved us first, and ours was a response. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. The Lord loved us first. The Lord made the running. The Lord came into our lives. And in as likely as not, he came when we weren't expecting any such thing. He came all unsuspectingly. He came and brought himself into a situation which had been havoc without him. But we weren't expecting him. We didn't take him on board as a solution to the problem. One of the things in the text that we were thinking about last week, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, is that we may ask for certain things, but the Lord may bring to it things that we couldn't ever possibly have known because they're known only to him and his power in order to answer our prayers to which we can see no answer. And when the Lord says, seek ye my face, he's inviting us to learn from him. He's inviting us to depend upon him. He's inviting us to talk with him and to hear answers from him as we read the scriptures and we meet with him each time we meet with the scriptures. They're not just book readings, but the essential thing is to know, to be aware, to be awakened up to the fact when we read these things in the scripture that the Lord is saying to us, seek ye my face. When thou said, seek ye my face, My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It comes across as the one thing he was waiting for. The one thing that really excited him. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. It's just what I wanted to hear. It's just at a dry time of life that these refreshing words came into my life. They brought into it things that could not otherwise possibly have been brought. So when I heard this, seek ye my face, I wasn't going to hang about. I wasn't going to argue the toss. I was so filled. My heart said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Now, the things of the heart are perhaps a little difficult to speak of. They are things of affection. And of course, they are things that concern the deepest part of us. And when it's said here that it was David's heart that leaped, he meant that it thrilled his whole being. It animated him with new power, such as he hadn't known before. And the whole of life became suffused with this wonderful presence of the Saviour. It was a heart response, more even than what we might describe as a heartfelt response. The word heartfelt implies something that's perhaps a bit transient, perhaps a bit passing. But this was a heart response, a heart that never changes response, a heart that doesn't play fast and loose with emotions. David's heart was knit to the heart of the Lord. It's probably how he learned his heart to be knit to the heart of Jonathan, but that's neither here nor there. But our religion, our Christianity, our faith is to be a heart religion, a personalized heart religion. We don't come in order to worship whom we know not. We don't come because others come. At least, perhaps we begin that way. But it's a heart response to the living God who made us, created us, and especially to the Saviour who saves us. My heart said, if we don't have this experience in some form or another, we haven't got what it takes to keep us going through life and bring us to heaven. Because faith and belief and response to God is all from the depths of our heart, from our spirits. It's a working that goes deep down. The picture of the Lord dealing with our spirits at the noise of his waterspouts, the crashing of waters, is the way that the Lord's Spirit has to deal with our unruly spirits. The way that the Lord's Spirit has to deal with motives deep down. And so, when our heart responds to the Lord, this is just what I wanted. This is just what I was waiting for. I knew there must be something that could brighten life up altogether. And this is it. I recognize it now. On the day in which I was converted, I think it was the evening service probably. Might have been the morning, but I think it was the evening. And I remember cycling home, the 2 miles from the church to home. And all the grass seemed greener. All the colours seemed brighter. My heart was leaping for joy. And I've read since that this is an experience that many people meet with who've just met the Saviour. It could be compared with just having glasses, you know. You didn't realise how, you knew how green the grass was, but you didn't realise how lacking the green it had been for the last year or two, till you had your glasses. And then you realise how much more colour there was, and you could read things and bring them up closer. Well, the heart response to the love, there is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the Lamb of God he has gathered us all. And our response to the supreme love, the Saviour's love, the Saviour who gave his life that our sins might be atoned for. There is no love like that. I think you know that I tend to think of it in terms of the love of God in the sense of the great work of the Saviour who died for me, among the millions of others who are believers. But it comes across to an individual with all the great power. But it is that he came and that he thought of me and that he personally took hold of me and that his death upon the cross was for me and that all faith of every saved person, even when 8,000 are saved in 2 days, is an intimate, personal, deep down thing. The fact that it can happen to millions at the same time is neither here nor there. So the heart response is the proper thing to the invitation to believe the gospel which God gives. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I was taught when I was first a believer, it was the sort of common fallacy that you had arrived. And our minister went to great pains to say that having become a Christian, it was only the beginning of a pathway. Now it is true that when the Lord speaks of the coming of the kingdom, he mostly in his kingdom parables speaks of entry into that kingdom. It is the most vital thing. It's the thing that saves us from hell and brings us into heaven. The actual entry is of crucial importance. But once we've entered, it's only the beginning of a pilgrimage. And the heart says, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Ask and ye shall find. Sorry, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But seeking implies looking for, searching for, giving time to understanding. And thy face, O Lord, will I seek, is the response to the words, seek ye my face. But the Lord himself there is saying that because I am unseen, and because I am the Lord of millions of things that you can't know about, I need seek to be sought. And different things will be mastered as you do seek. And that this was to be his life's work. Deep down in him, David was delighted. Now, it wasn't his life's work in one sense. He was a shepherd and he was learning to be king. And he became a king. But the seeking of the Lord's face is a full-time occupation. But it is not incompatible with going about your daily business. In fact, it gives it all the power and the impetus that it needs. It is a wonderful thing to be excited. Now, if a loved one, as happened frequently in the war, of course, had been away for a little while, and you go to meet the train, you count the days till your loved one comes home. And then you make your way to the nearest station. And then you're delighted to see that person. We're dealing with a God who's unseen. And therefore there's a certain amount of seeking. And it implies, because he's not always so obviously there with us, there's a looking forward to, and there's an excitement about meeting with the Father through the Son. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We'll never know him as he can be known. Not even, I think, in heaven will we know everything about him. All of us are made up of half of one parent and half of the other. And the proportions can be different. And what we have to say is, I think we have to say, we never get the measure of our parents. They were there before us. The gifts that we exercised that are from them, they were exercising long before us. We never quite get the measure of them. I think somehow that it's payback time when you get very old and the children, who by this time are about 65 themselves, treat mum and dad as if they're no longer capable of anything and talk about them in front of them sometimes. Payback time. Because they've never really had an advantage over their parents. We never really get to know what they were thinking. We never did understand what makes them tick. And our children will be the same about us. So there is a lot of seeking to do to get to know the Father through Christ. And there are things that we will never know about him. Famous phrase concerning Queen of Sheba, the half was never told me. I try to think sometimes of what I was before I was a Christian, when I was just aware I was me, when I was an 8-year-old in the war and a 10-year-old, not brought up in a Christian home, didn't know anything about Christ. All that time, if I'm to be saved, and if I've been chosen, there'll be a time when I'm called. And all that time, the Lord is watching over me, all unbeknown to me, my times are in his hand. Of course the believer says that. But long before he believed, these things were still true. So there are lots of things about the Lord way beyond us, way before us, for he chose his people in eternity. But to seek his face. Now when we read the Bible, the proper way to read the Bible is to be seeking the Saviour's face. In it, meeting with him, sometimes hearing those invitations, sometimes coming across promises, sometimes across commands, sometimes across warnings, sometimes across statements of facts which needs faith to receive. But that's what we're doing in the Bible, because there we are helped to seek the face of the Lord Jehovah. It is Lord, you notice, in capital letters. So it is the Father who is being spoken of. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It is the face of our Creator, the face of our Maker. But above all, it is the face of our Saviour, for there is no difference in the attributes of the Godhead, and it was the Father who gave us to the Son in any case, if we believe. So here is a thrilling verse. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, overjoyed, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And if you have heard in the reading of the scriptures this gracious invitation to come to him, I beseech of you not to treat it lightly, not to have doubts about it, not to turn it down, because it comes with all the authority of our Father who is in heaven, the Creator, with power over all things, and therefore it is our safety, our security, and our rock. May we enter into these things gladly.